الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. صدق رسوله النبي الكريم. The month of Ramadan is right here already, and in a little summary, what we should try and do to maximize on our ibadat, our gaining our rewards from Allah tabaraka ta'ala. The first thing is we must keep rozas. That means that we must not stay hungry, we must keep rozas, we must fast. And that means rozas of the eyes also. We stay away from all the gunas of the eyes. Rosa of the tongue also. All the gunas of the tongue also. Of the heart, of the mind, of the hands, legs, the fingers on the cell phone, typing messages, etc. All types of gunas, then it is called rosa. Then we will get the benefit of the month of Ramadan, which is to acquire taqwa, which is the guaranteed way of the friendship of Allah Ta'ala. In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. The only friends of Allah are those who have got taqwa. And this month is for that. So we should try our best to keep our rozas, not only stay hungry. And the second thing is our taraweeh by night. Try and perform taraweeh such a place where it is done properly. Not just rushing through, not the earliest taraweeh, not the fastest taraweeh, but that it is done nicely, properly. We're not rushing, but nice serenity, peace, nicely we make our taraweeh. Then the third great thing is tilawat of Quran Sharif. In fact, whatever time we have, we should devote it to tilawat of Quran Sharif as much as we can. And mashallah, we should take inspiration of those people who in this time and age also make one khatam a day. 30 khatams in the month of Ramadan. So we should also try, inshallah, to read as much as we can Quran Sharif. Then the fourth thing that we should do is engage in du'as. We should have our slot, our time for du'a. If we make some time, Sehri time, try and get up a bit earlier and have a few minutes of dua also together with our tahajjud, our sehri, etc. And before iftari also, that is also a very valuable time. Spend that time also in dua as much as we can. Then the other thing, fifth thing, zikrullah, to make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Make our zikr 100 times la ilaha illallah, 100 times Allah. And try and do that also properly, how we are supposed to do it. Not just rushing or half sleepy or without any, our mind is not present, try and do it properly. And if we can, in fact we should, also the third kalima, durood sharif and istighfar. Try and read that also. If the minimum, 10 times each. If we can, 25 times 50, and if we can reach 100 times each, very, very good. Try and do that also during this month. That will help tremendously, and we see the value of the month. And then the main thing of all them all, to abstain from all type of sin. That is the main thing. Otherwise, we will be filling a pot with a hole in it. We are making all our ibadat, but with our sin, all that reward is gone out. And we will be at zero at the end of Ramadan. In fact, in minus. So all types of sin, whatever we can, especially the phone, this is the worst type. So happy and good it was, met to two people in these times who don't keep a cell phone. There may be many more people. MashaAllah, our brother Ibrahim is here for 40 days also, and he also has left his phone at home. And of course, he's got his family, everyone longs to speak to your family. But on all this little, it seems little, but by Allah Ta'ala, it is very great. Allah is ash-shakur, alladhi yu'ti al-ajrul jazeel ala al-amalil qaleel. who gives great, great rewards on small, small amals. And we want to reach Allah, we want to find Allah, the love, the connection with Allah. These are the sacrifices, the small sacrifices we make, and we will find Allah Ta'ala. So there's a phone, if we can, we don't have it the whole month of Ramadan. If we have to have it, then make sure only for what is absolutely necessary. Nothing going on any other site or anything else, not in the least, but no YouTube, no nothing. Shaitan bluffs us that listen to Quran Sharif on the phone. Listen to some nasheeds. Listen to something else. It all appears nice, but how Shaitan traps a person doesn't know. And for that, this dua of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam is very, very, very effective. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika. Oh Allah, help us on your dhikr, to make the dhikr of Allah tabaraka ta'ala. And so, oh Allah, you give us the strength, you give us the understanding, you give us the time to make your dhikr. The time is there, but if we know the value of dhikrullah. As it comes in a hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is nothing more noble and gaining more reward than the dhikr of Allah ta'ala. A sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked, not even jihad in the path of Allah ta'ala? Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, not even jihad. Even that person who goes with his sword and he fights so valiantly and his sword breaks also. And he gets dyed, covered with blood from head to toe. That also is not equal. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah had explained, this is because the object is the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. For the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, for the recognition, ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. And all the efforts which are taking place for this are the means of it. The actual object is the real thing. So we should try and that we beg Allah that He gives us the strength, the understanding, the time to make the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. Wa shukrika. And the shukr of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. To make shukr is very, very important. It is, if a person does it, all the things that we pay for, whatever we are buying, we are paying for. Like a kilo of rice, for example. Whatever price, 25 rand, 30 rand, whatever price we might be paying, we are not paying for the rice. We are paying for all the people who made effort, for the farmer who grew the rice, for the transport people, for the shipping people who transported it by ship, for all the computer work at the all along, everywhere, all the cranes, etc., then all the warehouses, the retail shops, the wholesale shops, the retail shops, all that we are paying. And that also, Allah in His infinite mercy has subsidized it very, very, very greatly. Otherwise, if we have to pay for a kilo of rice, all these farmers, and all the transport, and all the shipping, and all the storage, and all the packaging, where will 20, 25 rand be equal, will we be able to pay for that? Impossible. And after that is what we're paying them. But the rice itself, we haven't paid. The rice, only Allah makes it grow, or whatever else it might be. And the only pay for that is the shukr of Allah Ta'ala. And if we make shukr, then we have paid. And the real shukr is when a person says, I cannot make your shukr. Your favors are so great, I can't even understand all your favors. Where am I going to make shukr to you? So we have to make shukr every day. And one beautiful dua that we are taught, that we'll make shukr for all the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. In the morning, Allahumma ma asbaha. In the evening, Allahumma ma amsa. Bi min ni'matin, aw bi ahadi min khalqik. Fa minka wahdak la sharika lak, falaka alhamdu, wa laka shukr. It comes in the hadith, when a person reads this, then he has made, Allah says, you have made shukr of everything. And just see how kind is Allah. What if we really, such a small dua, and Allah says you have made shukr of everything. So So we should really abide by it, live by it, inshallah. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. And your beautiful ibadat, the best ibadat. This all of us, we are all trying, everyone in his way, whatever we are doing, we are making our tilawat, making our dhikr, our namazas. But is that the best ibadat? What is the best ibadat? Oh, that only Allah Ta'ala knows. I might be thinking that I exert myself, I make so much ibadat, but is it the best ibadat? Is it that what Allah Ta'ala really loves? That we have to also consider all the time. And this dua will help us. Allah will guide us toward the best of ibadat. For example, a person might spend half an hour in some type of ibadat, but later on he realizes himself another ibadat is much more superior. And a person who is doing some business and is making a turnover of 10,000 rand a day, a month, a week, whatever it might be, but afterwards he gets in another business and is doing 10,000 rand a minute, an hour, then he will say, oh, that time what was I doing? So like that, our ibadat also, and we don't know. And we think, and we try our best. Sometimes we read in a kitab, some dua, some wazifa, we start reading that also. Like Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali said, the kitab, Dalailul Khairat, which is a great compilation of Durood Sharif on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And how many people in the world read, some read it, every day they make one khatam of it. Some over a week, some over a longer period. Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali says, to read Durood Ibrahimi, what we read in Namaz, is much more superior than reading Dalailul Khairat. Now one person might be reading Dalailul Khairat, and himself is very happy, I'm making a very great ibadat. But in fact, another person just reads this Durood a few times and his sawab is more greater. How many of us? There are the certain duas, dua-i-laki, ganjul arsh, and they've got some words of shirk in them. We are reading it thinking we are doing great ibadah, but we are reading words of some shirk, some bid'at, or many of us, many wazifas, which buzurgs have shown. Compared to that, the wazifa which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, where can all these wazifas together, Durood Sharif, great beautiful Durood Sharif, many ulama, very great, very good Durood Sharif, but the Durood what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, where can all these Durood ever measure, come near to what the Durood is of what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. So we should always make dua and listen to the talks of the ulama and find out and ask the ulama about our wazaif, etc. Many people, mashallah, they are those who write all their wazifas and they ask if this is right, whether I must change it, whether I must increase it, what should I read. And many people just doing what they are doing, and whatever it is, maybe we are laboring very hard, but we are earning very little. Like we know a laborer, how hard he works, but he earns so little. Another person sitting in an air-conditioned office, he comes 9, 10 o'clock to job, he knocks off 3, 4 o'clock, and he's just signing some papers, he's just putting some papers this side, that side, and what is his salary? So like that, as far as deen also is concerned. Amongst those things, that we have to become pious and righteous also. And pious and righteous is what Allah declares as pious and righteous, not what we think. So we have to have that concern all the time. That piety, is it in my life as what Allah wants to, or am I thinking? Many times I get deceived with my titles, with my outward appearance, and look at Shaitan. For how long he was making so much ibadat of Allah. But at the end he was totally rejected. So we also don't know. So we have to have this fear all the time. So in that one is the thing that, and this is across the board, that are we, which comes in the hadith, kun abdaul akhirah, become the slave, the children of Akhirat. وَلَا تَكُنْ أَبْنَاءُ الدُّنْيَا. Don't be the slaves of dunya, that we are running after our rands and cents, making bank balances, investments, etc. But be of those who are of Akhirat. For us ordinary people also, and for the ulama also. Now those ulama, we are known as ulama Akhirat. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayh, Allah reward him very greatly. He has wrote extensively on this. Hazrat Shaykh, rahmatullah alayh, has also written, and many, many other ulama also. So whether it is the ulama, whether it is we, the ordinary public, but that we are people of Akhirat. That is our object. And not the people of dunya. Not that we hanker after the dunya. And we just fit deen in. But we make deen our object. We make akhirat our object. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala promises, whoever makes akhirat his object, Allah ta'ala gives him his dunya very easy. In fact, Allah addresses those people who are working so hard for their rosy. They are those people, what we call first world countries. And they are working 3 shifts a day. Men also, women also, all just to try and make ends meet. They are, and yet at the end they are short of money. So Allah addresses all such people who are working very hard in the dunya. Oh my banda, why are you working so hard? I have taken responsibility of your rosy. And what I have fixed for you, you can't earn 1 cent more than that. You can add the zeros. A zero is only a zero. You are earning 20 rand a day or 200 or 2000. It is just more zeros. And zeros are only zeros. And it is only there you making yourself happy. But at the end, you see people with lot of zeros. At the end of the month, they got zero. They are short all the time. And those people who are earning little but have got contentment, they got money to spend in the path of Allah. They got money for other people also. They got money to send for Akhirat. These other people also wish, Lord, I can send for Akhirat, but I don't have, I'm short myself, because you are chasing zeros. And this is what this dunya has done to us. So we should see that we are people of the Akhirah. And in that also we should see, and we should be very concerned, that every person is a leader also, and every person is a follower also. Every person is a leader. For example, kullukum ra'in. Every one of you is a shepherd. That is responsible, that we can call is a leader. The mother also, for her children and her family. The father in his house. All of us we are. Amongst friends, if we have got, and there is one who is the leader in that friend, he is also a leader there. And then there are all of us, and then the ulama also our leaders. And then the political people who are leading the country as far as all the affairs of the dunya and the country are concerned, they are also leaders in Muslim countries also, non-Muslim countries also. And then there are the followers also, people who are following other people. We are all following also somebody, and we are leaders also. So we should see, as the Quran Sharif, one great principle of the Quran which a person realizes, where Allah explains about especially the Yahud, the Ahle Kitab, and all their wrongs they did, for 2 main reasons. One, that we don't befriend them, and we don't become close and imitate them. And the other is that we don't make those same mistakes also. So as the people who have done mistakes, we must take a lesson from them. History is also studied that way. That is the most weakest, in fact a stupid way to study history, only to know places' names, to know what events took place, what dates this happened, what date that happened. The real history is to take lessons. That this nation got destroyed, a catastrophe came, Allah's azab came, why did it came? This nation became successful, what were the causes of their success? And that is what the Quran, the history of Qawm Aad, Thamud, Qawm Shu'aib, etc. All of them, the Quran, Musa alayhi salam, Fir'aun, Madian, all these people, Allah Ta'ala has explained, so that we take the lessons from there. We don't follow those people. we don't make the same mistakes also. So we must see that we follow also those people, whether it is in our family, whether it is with regard to our ulama, with regard to our leaders of our dunya's matters also. Those people who are abdaul akhirah, who have got akhirah as their object, who have got Allah as their object. That is the one they want to please Allah. They want to be close to Allah Ta'ala. We have got Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his mission and his lifestyle, the sunnah as their object. That is what we should follow. And we should stay away from all those people in our families also, even those ulama who encourage us about dunya and want to give us the goodness of this dunya. For example, education of dunya. And they encourage it so much, whether it is in our family people, whether it's our parents also, whether it is our children also, whether it is in our families, whether it is in the whole ummah, whether it is the ulama also, whoever who encourage us about dunya and the education of dunya. And dunya's education is permissible, but it can never compare with the education of deen. That is dunya's education, which means that how to build a house, how to grow food, vegetables, how to rear animals, all that. But secular education, that is totally haram. Because secular education is that education, a secular government, secular education, which negates the existence of Allah. And which negates any religion. Not only Islam, any and all religions also. It is atheism. Another word for atheism. How can that be ever permissible? That is totally haram. And those who encourage on that, how terrible. And then again, that is the basic root cause of that education being haram. And then with all the evils that take place there, the boys and girls meeting, and today young girls falling pregnant also. And then which are followed then with abortion. And which are followed with people becoming suicidal. The parents, the girl herself. And then going into drugs, alcohol, etc. And a whole life totally wasted. And all the other evils that go with that. So we must be very careful of those people in our family also, those ulama also, who are encouraging towards this. And any other wrong things also, whether it is as far as dressing is concerned. There are those people who will encourage us to dress according to deed and sharia the correct way. Others will make a mockery out of it and tell us that you must dress according to the modern times. And somebody has said so beautifully that today we are living in a time that women are paid to undress, to put off their clothes. They are modeling, etc., or whatever. They are paid to undress, and they are fined if they wear clothing. There is such a time that they are fined if they wear clothing. And those women who are praised and admired in magazines, etc., when they undress and they expose their bodies, and by wolves and by animals they are admired. Rather, have your modesty, and the Quran Sharif admires you. The woman of piety and modesty, Allah and His Rasul exalts those women and shows them high position. And if it is that a person is progressive and is modern, when they put off their clothes, then the most modern and progressive are animals, because they don't wear clothes. So if that is not wearing clothes and being naked, if that is being so progressive and being so modern, then the animals are our leaders then. And that is in fact what it has become. We have made animals our leaders. We have landed ourselves in a position where the seeing people are following the blind people. The blind people who don't know Akhirat, they don't believe in Allah, the system, the control, the power of Allah, they are blind to all this. And we who are the seeing people, how blind are we? That لا تعمل أبصار ولكن تعمل القلوب. that the hearts are blind. The eyes of the heart are blind. لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي عَامَ وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. A person will say on Qiyamah day, Ya Allah, why did you raise me blind when I was a seeing person in the world? Allah will say, you were blind to our command. You were blind to Akhirah. So we must see that we follow the right people. And we must be right ourselves also. Give the right advice. Not give a advice for just a short limited period of this dunya. Our advice also must be keeping akhirat in mind, keeping the Allah's overall power, Allah's overall knowledge, that we must keep in mind. Not only the limited man's knowledge, man is prone to make mistakes. Man is subject to mistakes all the time. Allah is absolute. Allah is infinite. Allah is beyond any error or any mistake. So we should follow that ourselves, and we should follow those people who teach us to submit to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Then in this process, another very important aspect also is, we find that Islam, no other religion, has taught so much rights of parents. That you must be obedient to your parents, you must be submissive to your parents, so much so that even if they are non-Muslims, you must be good to them also. Islam, the rights it has taught of neighbors, for example. No other religion teaches the rights of neighbors as Islam has taught. The rights of family people, family ties, so dangerous that if a person, for example, breaks family ties, and if he breaks it for dunya's reasons, if it's for deen's reasons, then that is required, that is praiseworthy. So in any case, Islam has taught these rights very, very greatly. But at the same time, Islam is also taught when there is a conflict of interest between the rights of Allah and the rights of fellow people, then forgo the rights of people. Now the rights of Allah, whether it's your mother, whether it's your father then, whether it's your brother, it's your son, it's your daughter, whoever it is, we say that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after one battle, his son told him, oh my father, you had come under my sword. I could have taken your life, but because you are my father, I spared you. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, at that time the son was still a non-Muslim. Had you come under my sword, I shouldn't have given it a second thought. I should have severed your head, because he's the enemy of Allah ta'ala. So the rights of family people are very great, but the rights of Allah are the greatest. So we must not forsake the rights of Allah for family people. In the same way, one Sahabi, Ibn Mughaffal, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, says that my nephew was playing a game like what we little children play with a caterpillar, something similar to that, but in a different way. So he told him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade this, don't play this game. Then he put it away, but when he thought his uncle is not watching, he started playing again. He became so angry with him, he said, I'll never speak to you my whole life again. If you get ill, I will not come and visit you. If you die, I won't come in your janazah also. That Allah's Nabi told something. So we also, this is a very important aspect of husna ibadat. That our ibadat becomes correct. That for the sake of Allah, if we have to break family ties, they have to be broken. And they must be broken. And we see that the Sahaba, Allahu Akbar, the wives of the Sahaba, where Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ مُهَاجِرَاتِ فَامْتَحِنُوهُنَّ. They take the imtihan. Anyway, these muhajirat, the women, they left their husbands also. And they came and they made hijrah to Darul Hijrah, to Madinatul Munawwara. And they came there, then the whole very intricate masail, that all the different conditions that happen, that payments have to be made, etc., all that is on its place. But that those women also, they left their husbands for the sake of Islam. They did not stay in Darul Kufr. They did not stay with their non-Muslim husbands. So this is also, until a person does not do that, his iman is not complete. His iman is not perfect. that even if you have to break family ties, they have to be broken. Today we want to cover up for even people that we to keep the peace in the family. And we don't discuss those subjects. And we just make the Jews the subject, and everyone is ready to attack the Jews. And then with the actual things where they are, we are doing other haram things, the wrong education, the wrong dressing, the wrong environment, talking evil about good practices about Sunnah, and we accommodate that. Ulama who are teaching the wrong things, we cover up for them. And we say we have to respect ulama. Ulama we must respect. Your parents also you respect, even if they are non-Muslims, but you don't listen to them. You don't follow them. That is a very important aspect of our deen, which we are overall 100% we are guilty of this very great sin, that we support, we cover up, we make up for the people who are speaking against deen. If there is a drug lord who is around in our neighborhood. One place I went, I asked the person, your neighbors, they are Muslims. He said, no, they are drug lords. So will you keep friends with them? Will you go to them and you allow them to come, allow your children to play with them? If there is a brothel around in your vicinity, or anyone doing all these evil things, we won't. And the people who are destroying our deen from within, even if it is the ulama, if they are also destroying our deen and distorting and changing our deen, how can we still associate with them? And how can we still keep friendship with them? So this is a very important thing. And until that is not done, then a person's iman, there is something still deficient in his iman. So we have to realize that also. And we must not be having the quality of hypocrisy and mudahana. We know what is wrong, but we don't speak it. We cover it up. That this is now a senior person in a family. There is a senior person in a community. And we don't speak about the wrong. No, in Islam, Allah's rights are the greatest and the highest. And that is what we must fulfill. And for that, we can even give our lives for that. For Allah's sake, we give our lives. And billions of people have given their lives. Allah give us proper understanding and tawfiq, inshallah.